Well, greetings, New Hope Church. It is so good to be with all of you. What has this not been a beautiful time of worship here today? Can we just thank the Lord for His goodness to us and for just the love that He gives to us and that we can respond back to Him in our worship and our praising of Him and our generosity, as Jot just so wonderfully shared. I'm so grateful to be part of that with you. Welcome here to New Hope Church. If you're a guest with us, we are so pleased you're with us. Let me mention a couple things. Right after we're finished here in our gathering, in just a little bit, between now and our next worship service, just down the hall, is a guest reception. We do this a couple times a month. And if you are new today or in these recent weeks, if you'd pop down there, we've got some folks that would love to greet you. I'm going to step in there for a few moments as well. I'm eager to shake your hand and welcome you. I'd love the opportunity to do that. I should say, my name's Matthew, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so grateful to be with you. So I look forward to seeing you between our worship gatherings here in just a little while. Also, let me just say, if you are joining us online, I'm so glad you're with us. You matter, and it is important to us that we can connect like we do. And so thank you for your trust in tuning in from wherever you find yourself today. You are loved. You are welcome here to New Hope Church in Minneapolis. And all of us together worship Jesus and cry out to Him in song and spend time in His Word. And it's great to connect with you. So welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Listen, there was a lady named Felicity. And she'd been incarcerated for a number of years. And she would mark off the years and the months and the weeks and the days until she could be free. Eventually, word got to her and she recognized, oh, this is the date. This is the date that I will be free. And so, as you might imagine, the anticipation grew more strongly. And she most certainly was now not just marking off the months and the weeks and the days, but the hours. She was very close to her father. He visited her regularly. And she was anticipating that when the moment came, she would see him and be able to actually be held by him rather than just see him through glass in a guarded room. Sure enough, the day came. She got all cleaned up. She had on a new outfit that had been given her. She walked through a variety of locked security doors, gates. Every once in a while, someone would give her a thumbs up or cheer her on. And eventually, she stepped out of that one final door into a sun-kissed sidewalk. And there was her father. And his arms were wide open and he was grinning from ear to ear. And she ran to him and collapsed in his arms and he just held her so very tight, not letting go. And together they cried and they rejoiced, for that which had been longed for was now fully realized. Felicity was free. She was in her father's arms. Oh, but the wait, the waiting, the years, the months, the weeks, the hours, wondering what will it be like? Will he in fact really be there? What will the first breath in that realm beyond the bars feel like for me? Waiting is hard. I don't know about you. I hate waiting. I don't like to wait for things. But we all have to wait for things. Maybe it's not as dramatic or poignant as Felicity's story. But all of us wait for things. Perhaps it is for that soulmate with whom we can live out our days. Maybe it is for that child to come. Perhaps we're waiting for that job offer. Maybe it is for that prognosis on that doctor's visit. Perhaps we're waiting on that degree to be accomplished, or that trip to be taken, or that book to be written. Maybe, perhaps ultimately, we're waiting on heaven to show up on earth. We're waiting on the Father to stand before us with arms outstretched to receive us. I know I am, and I have a suspicion many of you are as well. These recent weeks, we're exploring things to come, the so-called end times. We're considering some values that can help shape us, that we might be more fully conformed to the image of our blessed Savior, Jesus. We're trying to understand the kind of heart with which we live out these days. And we are in challenging days. Pastor Harry said it beautifully earlier. These are ridiculous kind of days in which we find ourselves. We've been looking so far at what it is to watch wisely. The things that are out there that might inform us about the Lord's coming. Last weekend, we took time to talk about what it is to discern, to be wary of the things that we see. Lord willing, next weekend, we're going to talk about what it is to live and die well as we wait. And then, rounding out our series, we're going to celebrate together the urgency of gospel proclamation in days that seem to get shorter and shorter. Today, we want to talk about what it is to wait well. What does it look like to wait well? Especially when waiting is so hard, so challenging, sometimes really discouraging. Well, as we've been thinking about all these things, we've been peering into a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. A conversation on the Mount of Olives, immediately east of the city of Jerusalem. The disciples and Jesus had climbed the hill heading to a village up on top where they were going to turn in for the evening. Think of it as going into the suburbs or a bedroom community for the night. The next day they would once again head back down into the city. But as they're heading up, they stop and they turn westward and they look at the great city of Jerusalem. They see the temple there and the sun is setting behind it and the light is glittering off of the golden facade of the facility. It is stunning to look at, and the disciples comment on this power and beauty, and Jesus shocks them by telling them that all of that's going to be destroyed. Now, for a couple weeks now, we've talked about this, and I would commend those messages to you, the previous two. You can go back and read the passage itself, Matthew chapter 24. But telling the disciples that the temple was going to be destroyed was so disorienting for them, and readily they began to ask questions. When will this take place? What do we need to look for? What does this mean by way of your triumphant return as Messiah? And Jesus begins to answer these things. And there's a lot that we can learn and are learning. And one of them is how to wait well. Among the verses that we've been looking at, one stands out to me for today, and I want you to see it here. You'll find it on the screens in front of you. It's Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. And here's what we read, right? Jesus says to the disciples, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet." And so right there in these words, Jesus reminds us, you're going to hear all kinds of things, rumors and such. Don't be anxious. Don't be troubled. Don't be alarmed. These things must take place. The end is not yet. And as we've already established with that statement, we established this a couple of weeks ago, with that statement is an affirmation that there's going to be some indefinite period of time from the moment the temple is destroyed till the time when Jesus returns. There's going to be some time. Now, what Jesus and the disciples don't know is that whether that indefinite span of time is going to be a few years or a few millennia. And even Jesus doesn't know, because he says later in the passage, only my Father knows. I want to mention to you that though there is a span of time that has proven to exist, and there may yet be a whole other lifetime before Jesus' return, this does not negate the theological hope called the imminent return of Christ. I will tell you straight up, I absolutely believe Jesus could return today. The scriptures tell us this. God the Father in his infinite wisdom might at this very moment give the command, and his only begotten Son will return powerfully. It could happen today. As a matter of fact, according to what Jesus says in this conversation, as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 13, listen to these words. Jesus says to his disciples and to you and to me, he says, therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. I love this. So in this very conversation, Jesus, he doesn't know when it's going to be, but he knows it could be any time. It could be a long time, and it could be any time. And my hope and my belief is it can be very soon, friends. I want to believe that. I do believe that. But the waiting, the years, the months, the weeks, the days, the hours, when there's so much pain, it is so hard to wait. So how might we wait well? Now, the Apostle Paul gives some great wisdom on this. He's written a New Testament letter called 2 Thessalonians. You might turn there if you happen to have your Bible with you. Go to that place there. 2 Thessalonians, you may not know this, is actually written about this very topic. The Christian community that lived in the Greek city of Thessaloniki had started hearing rumors that the Lord had come, and somehow they had been forgotten. And they understandably were extremely upset about this, very anxious about this. And so they start asking questions about if this is even true. And somehow the Apostle Paul gets word, and he wants to reassure them. And so he writes them this letter that today we call 2 Thessalonians. And so understand with me, The whole book of 2 Thessalonians is written to respond to an end time type question about whether the Lord has returned or not and how we might wait. Okay? And so within 2 Thessalonians then, if you were to take time and read through it carefully, and I urge you to do so, it won't take you more than about 8 minutes. It's a very short book, 3 chapters. If you take time to look through it, you're going to read some very interesting things regarding this so-called man of lawlessness, otherwise known as the Antichrist. You're going to read about what this person's work is going to look like as he works in cahoots, as it were, with the enemy, Satan himself. And you're going to read about this Jesus who comes and triumphantly brings an end to the confederation of the son of lawlessness, or the man of lawlessness, and Satan. And you're going to read about about the glorious return of Christ. And I think, and this is my personal conviction shared by many, but not by all, and that's okay. I think actually that 2 Thessalonians, particularly chapter 2, makes a strong theological and biblical case for the rapture of the church. And I would encourage you to read those things. But for our purposes right now, what I want to do is highlight those few points that Paul brings up about waiting. How do we wait well when it seems like the Lord is delaying his return and the world is spinning out of control? What do we do? Do we go hide? Do we run in fear? Do we sigh that all is a loss? Do we while away our time just having given up? What do we do? What is it that disciples of Jesus, apprentices of Jesus, ought to do while we wait for the things to come? To come. Well, I want to share with you just a few things here. And you'll see them, and they're really simple. So here we go. Here's number one. Don't be alarmed. While you're waiting, don't be alarmed. And when you look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 3, here's what we see. I'm going to just read it. You can follow along with me. Just pay careful attention here. Paul says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, and I would add sisters, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you. I'll stop there for now. What Paul is saying is, look, you're probably hearing all kinds of things about this. And you might hear from a spirit, and the idea there is an evil spirit. You might have heard somebody preaching or speaking about this, and maybe you even got a letter purportedly being from us apostles about this. Ignore all that, Paul's saying, and don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. The language of being alarmed right there has this idea of fear. Don't be fearful. Don't be agitated. The language of quickly shaken has this idea of crying out. Thank you, guys. Hey, can we give it up for our tech crew back here? They're great. They're so great. Paul says, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff. This is a rich theological term I'm about to give you. Ready? Chill. Just chill. That's a good summary of those first 2.5 verses. Just chill. That's how we wait. How do we wait? Just chill. Number two, be rooted in God's word. We need to center ourselves in God's word. Notice what Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brothers, I would also add sisters here. The Greek word Adelphoi. It has the idea of brothers and sisters. This particular English translation tends to make it a little more narrow, but it's all encompassing. By the way, you'll notice here, a moment ago, it was brothers and sisters. Now it's brothers and sisters. When you read through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3, if you on your own want to find these exhortations about waiting, look for all the references to brothers, and right after that, you'll see it. I mean, Paul speaking to us believers, listen, sisters and brothers, and he rattles off a handful of them. Here's one of them. Be rooted in God's word. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Paul's saying, look, you're hearing all kinds of stuff. Just don't pay attention to it all. What you need to pay attention to is the word of God. Don't listen to the conspiracy theories. My goodness, we Christians in America are addicted to conspiracy theories. I don't for the life of me understand it. It's so startling to me. Just listen, focus on the Word of God. What does God say? What does the Lord say in his word? And maybe, and Paul says, look, maybe you heard me preach something, and that will be from the word of God. I am an apostle commissioned by God, so you can trust that. Maybe it's not something you heard. Maybe it's something you read in the scriptures. But at the end of the day, be rooted in the word of God and let go of the conspiracy theories and all the fiction novels and all the latest fads. Just set it all aside and let the scriptures shape your worldview. And so if you want it, how do you wait? Lean into the word of God. Be people of the book, right? This book right here. People of the book. All right, number three, here we go. Pray much for proclamation and protection. That's a lot of P's and a lot of syllables there. Pray much for proclamation and protection. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, finally, brothers, and I would add sisters, finally, sisters and brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. So how do we wait? What is a way that we wait? Is we pray. And Paul's saying, look, I want you to pray that the gospel will spread like wildfire along the parched landscape of our day. I want you to pray for spiritual protection because Satan is, well, he's desperate because he knows the days are numbered and he wants to take everyone down with him. And so pray for spiritual protection from the evil one and from evil people that align their values with him. Pray, 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 pray. So what might we do as we wait? Should we run in fear and hide in our basements? No, we pray. We pray. We pray. Now, we've got a number of prayer opportunities here at New Hope Church. And so once a month, we have our One Thing prayer gathering. It's wonderful. I commend it to you. I urge you to come. Just even right now, these Saturdays here this month, our men's ministry is going around the neighborhoods on prayer walks. I want to encourage, we got another one coming up here just this week. I want to encourage you to do that. There are all kinds of ways to pray, and that's just with the people of God. And you can go home and sit in your comfortable chair and pray. Get on your knees before you turn in at night and pray. And pray that the gospel will move and people will be mobilized, and pray that the enemy will be held at bay and the evil will be restrained. Pray, pray, pray. That's what we can do when we wait. Now, here's another one. Avoid idleness and remain diligent. Avoid idleness and remain diligent. So Paul, here's what he says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and there's three verses here, 6 and then 11 and 12. Paul says, now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother or sister who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. By the way, a tradition, but when Paul uses that language, what he's saying is, listen, you receive from us that we have a mission. And that mission is to proclaim the one who makes all things new and to tell his story far and wide, all right? So we need to not be lazy. Let us tell this story. Let us be women and men who work, who earn our keep, who focus on flourishing within the created order so that people will know there's a God who merits our best. And we can tell the story of this rich Savior. Right? He goes on, verse 11, we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Any busy bodies in here? Oh, yeah, there are. Okay, so now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. And Paul's saying, listen, you're going to be tempted as you await the return of our great Savior, to hole up and hide, to decide it's a big, bad, scary world, and so I'm gonna go somewhere and check out and withdraw and remove myself, and I'm just sit and wait. Paul's like, no, get to work, earn your keep, be a witness in a watching world, get engaged. And oh, that we would be those people. But oh, I know the stories. I know this. I've been there myself. Well, you know, the Lord's coming, so why does it matter? Any of you ever thought that? I don't need to do this because, you know, Jesus is coming anyway, so who cares? Really? Yeah, really. I've been there. Trust me. And I appreciate Paul's exhortation to think differently and to be better than that. Here's another one. In fact, this will be the last one. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, as for you, brothers, and I would add sisters, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't give up. Don't give up. Yes, times are tough. Yeah, this world is hard. Yeah, our leaders can let us down. Yes, we look across the globe and we see no end of conflict. And we wonder as we think about the years and the months and the days and the hours, Lord, when are you ever showing up on the scene? Come, Lord Jesus. And Paul's saying, as you wonder all that, don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't give up. Friends, don't give up. How do we wait? How do we wait? Well, in the Old Testament, there is a beautiful, simple picture. Would you stand with me as I read it? You see, about 500 years before Jesus and the disciples had that conversation on the Mount of Olives, God's people were literally yanked from their homeland and scattered across a pagan idol-worshipping empire called Babylon. They were so disoriented, filled with pain and fear and shame. They were terrified, and they wanted to hide while they waited to be free, while they waited to fall into the Father's outstretched arms. But here's what God told them. Jeremiah chapter 29. He says this. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear a progeny. Multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to me on its behalf, for in its prosperity and peace you will find prosperity and peace. Wait, what? As we're waiting, you mean we just live our lives? We flourish unafraid, boldly? Absolutely. Before a watching world. This, friends, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the great I Am, the King of Majesty. It's how we wait. This picture is us being our best lives. So let's live our lives not afraid and hunkering down, but blessing, blessing, blessing all around. Amen.